Hey everyone, and welcome to the React Native Show podcast brought to you by Callstack, a total software engineering consultancy. I'm Łukasz Luziński, and it's my pleasure to come back to the roots and host a coffee talk episode for you. Today, we're talking about React Native 074, which I hope will be released together with this episode of our podcast. And to discuss the newest release, I'm joined by Hur from Callstack and Alex from Meta, who are a part of the release crew of this release. Hello, guys. How are you?
Yeah, great. Thanks.
Yeah, great.
So maybe we can start with introductions, actually. So maybe, Hur, can you tell us a few words about yourself? What do you do at Callstack and what do you do as a part of the release crew?
Hey, so I work at Callstack as part of, like, mainly the performance optimization team. And you know, then where we take care of the slow performing apps and then, like, improve them. So, and as part of the React Native release crew, I have been with them for, like, I think 7 to 8 months now. And we are releasing the patches and then helping with the testing of the releases and the pick requests. Yeah.
Alex, how about you? What is your role at Meta and how much of your time is taken by release responsibilities?
Yeah, hi, I'm Alex. I'm an engineer at Meta for the React developer experience team. You may remember me talking about Metro and debugging React Native. Recently I've been working on releases, including 4.0.74. I'd say this first quarter of this year, it's taken a good amount of my time. It's not the primary project, but we've invested a lot in making the release process better. So I've certainly enjoyed that. And being part of releases is rewarding because it's where we get the features out to our users. So good to be involved.
Thanks. And we are really grateful for that. And I'm really excited about 074. So to have our facts straight, we have a draft blog post in front of us, and we'll be talking about what's in the draft blog post. You are a part of the release crew, so it's not like you know every little detail of everything that we are going to mention here, but we will try to do our best to showcase for our listeners and for our viewers on YouTube to showcase what's the big changes that are coming up. And maybe at the end of the episode, we can talk about release process for a while as well. So let's jump into the React Native 074. And Alex, the first question is for you. What is the biggest change coming up in this release?
So I'd say the headlining feature in this release are yoga improvements. We have the Yoga 3.0 major release, which comes with some new layout behaviors and features, some breaking changes that make the kind of the flex layout offered by Yoga align more with web and CSS. So examples here are we've aligned the behavior of aligning content left, right, start, end with web inverted. And we've added support for Flexbox align content space evenly. We've also added support for CSS position static. This is new architecture only. And there's nice visual examples of these in the blog post. These give users more powerful or web-aligned layout features, meaning you can think in CSS, do quite complex things, and it will work in React Native and web.
Yeah, I think if you are going from React Native background exclusively, like I am, I don't do much web. I don't care much for static and for web compatibility. But on the other hand, if you have a multi-platform project, you'd like to use the same CSS values, the same CSS properties across your code base. So it's good that we are going there. It might be hard for some people with React Native only background in styling, and you might need to change something in your code base if you are flipping to 074, if you are using the new Yoga 3 engine.
Exactly. These are detailed examples in the post and the breaking changes of this release. It's worth noting we still have some differences with Flex Layout on React Native and Web. And this kind of stricter layout conformance is something that we'll iterate towards in the future.
Okay, awesome. Good to know that. So that was our headline change, Yoga 3, finally. It's been a while since we had a newer version of Yoga in React Native. Okay, so going back to the blog post, the second highlight from the blog post is regarding new architecture, and it's regarding Bridgeless. So in 0.73, in the previous release, the Bridgeless mode was introduced. Not by default, but it was introduced. And what it means is that we can start our application without creating the bridge at all, meaning that we have to use new architecture without bridge. So in this new release, 0.74, this option is turned on by default. So you don't have to go to your app and enable this. The Bridgeless is on by default, and it has some consequences. So Alex, can you please fill in the blanks in what I just explained in the Bridgeless mode by default in 0.74?
Yeah, exactly. So you're getting Bridgeless mode now. You're getting more of the new architecture with the new architecture. We've pushed forward with making it enabled in the architecture by default. And it is like one of the big pillars or pieces of the new architecture has been Bridgeless all along. So the majority of the effort in this release was aligning libraries to support this. It was an end-to-end collaboration with Expo and open source. And as part of it, we've significantly improved the render interop layer. An example is the new renderer interop layer for Android. And we've also brought some bridge APIs to Bridgeless as well to increase backwards compatibility. The upshot is the whole ecosystem is getting ready for new architecture with Bridgeless, and we're just pushing forward with that.
Yeah, so 2 points from me. Be careful when you upgrade to 0.74 because some of the, let's maybe niche libraries might not work with Bridgeless, so you'd have to turn off the Bridgeless. But how we discussed this with Alex before recording, you shouldn't be doing that. We should encourage everyone to get on with new architecture, with Bridgeless turn on, and maybe contribute something to open source to enable all of the libraries to be compatible with Bridgeless.
Yeah, I mean, so I actually like was thinking something to say about it. So basically, with Bridgeless now being in the default mode, this unfolds a great opportunity for the developers who want to contribute to the open source, but they don't know like where to start from. So to give you an idea, there is a dedicated discussion under GitHub React Web Group. Sorry, so you can go there, and the TLDR is. There is a list of the most used React Native libraries with the status of like whether they are the Bridgeless enabled or not. So if you want to contribute, you can either test the feature or you can create an like effort to support the Bridgeless in that library. So I think that is pretty much exciting in terms of open source as well.
Yeah, and let's link that GitHub page, GitHub issue in the show notes so anyone can contribute. And if you don't know how, reach out to us and we'll be glad to guide you towards that contribution. So thanks in advance. Going to the blog post for 0.74, what's next on our list of updates?
Yeah, next we have batched on layout updates. So this is kind of React state updates in on layout callbacks are now batched together. The motivation behind this was performance. You'll end up with fewer re-render commits in components. There's a code example in the release post that illustrates this. Again, this is actually a feature for parity with React Web. It may be breaking in some apps, but is how React should behave, and we've kind of brought that consistently over to React Native.
Okay, cool. So let's move on to updates about Yarn 3.
Yeah. So Yarn 3 was released in 2021, and now 2 years later, it is now the default package manager whenever a new project is initialized by React Native CLI, and it is coming in with 0.74. So an exciting feature because it introduces some installation improvements in terms of speed as compared to the previous versions of Yarn. So you might save some time on CI as well. So good news. And this is like enabled by the node modules, node linker feature of Yarn. And so even like it is the default package manager with React Native CLI, you can still use your favorite package manager like NPM or Bun if you want to. So there is still flexibility in React Native CLI.
Yeah, and if I can add in, like I do enjoy Yarn Modern. It's got some exciting features such as extensibility via plugins. But I personally enjoy the like niche features for mod repos. There's like the Yarn workspaces for each command built in, and workspace constraints, which can be very useful. And yeah, as Hira said, other package managers are available.
Okay. I think we are almost done with all of the new things.
I think there's the Android 6 SDK bump.
Yeah. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, this is really just, you know, making React Native a little more modern, increasing our base Android requirements. So minimum SDK requirement is now 23, Android 6.0. And we also have made like under-the-hood improvements to Android this release. Something nice to note is that we've reduced the app size, the APK size in Android by about 3 megabytes, which is a near 10% improvement for an empty React Native app. So upgrade and you'll get that.
Yeah. Also, Android 6.0 is like probably 0.5% of the market, I want to say. I didn't check that before the episode, so I don't know, but it seems old.
Yeah, we keep our support pretty good, I think, you know, for all the apps in use at Meta, at open source. Yeah, we want React Native to be usable by as many people as possible,
yeah.
So we keep reasonable device support around.
Yeah. Okay, so I think that's all in terms of new things. Let's talk about things that are dropping from React Native, and my favorite one from this category is prop types. So who wants to say something about the prop types?
Yeah, I can take it. So the prop types were deprecated in 2017 with React 15, but React Native was using it until recently. But now with 2.74, the core components like image or text, they have now been using TypeScript, and the deprecated React Native prop types package is now removed from the React Native repository. So which means that your app size will shrink, but with some KBs, and it is still a good news, but the recommendation now is to use a type system like TypeScript to ensure type safety in your applications.
Yeah, just use TypeScript or Flow. Don't use prop types. Okay, and the next thing that is dropped is the iOS, push notifications iOS.
Yeah, I can take this one. I'll stress these aren't dropped, but we have had a deprecated push notification iOS API in React Native for some time. I look back and try to see when we deprecated it, and it's at least the last 6 versions. It's a long time. This has actually been updated. We migrated to Apple's newer user notification framework. So we've kind of kept support for this. However, that's involved some API changes and removal of a couple of methods on this API. The motivation here was like de-risking App Store rejections from using the previous iOS 12 APIs. We've only deprecated the legacy APIs in Service Service 4 now, I think the methods. But in the next release, it's important to mention users should migrate to the community library because we will intend to remove this API entirely, I think.
Thanks for correcting me. I actually read it incorrectly. So sorry for that, listeners. This was already deprecated for some time. And the change right now is to just change the API a little bit in order to be compliant with Apple's requirement. But you shouldn't be using that module anyway.
Yeah, I think it's been DevKit for a long time. We've just put some attention to it now, given it a minimum update, but are really marking this as something you should migrate off in the next release. And in the next release, we will detail how to do this, given it's removed. I moved to a community library.
Thanks for correcting me. And sorry to be wrong on the recorded podcast.
Something else I should mention is even as of this release, if you're using that deprecated API, there's some significant migration steps around AppDelegate that you will need to perform. And those are step-by-step listed in the release blog post.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for that. I think we wrapped up the things that are changing in this version of React Native 0.74. Thank you so much for driving that effort as a release crew. There are some more people mentioned in the blog post. Go ahead and read the blog post and get familiar with all of the things that we just mentioned. I want to use the opportunity that I have you guys here to maybe talk a little bit about the release process on its own. So I've heard there were some improvements, changes in the process itself. So do you want to talk about that a little bit?
So in the like past couple of months, there has been some significant improvements in terms of release documentation and the release process. So to start us off, the documentation for the release guidelines is now moved from the React Native website to the dedicated React Native releases repository. So, and that's not it, because it is now updated with the graphical elements. So you can see like what you have to do on each step of the release. So, which is very, very important for the newcomers to the release process. So, and apart from this, we migrated to the GitHub project, which means that previously we had a discussion dedicated to each of the release, and the community members would then address their pick requests on the comment under the discussion. But now we have a dedicated project for each of the release. For example, we have a dedicated project for 0.73, and in there we have the dedicated badge releases, and the users can now create a pick request through using the GitHub issues, so which makes everything in one place. And we have observed that with this, the velocity of the releases has increased a lot. So that's a very good thing. So Alex, do you want to add anything else to it?
Yeah, I'm also really enjoying that, the single source of truth for releases and making pick requests. I mean, the release crew, which is me, you, and three others, Meta and Open Source Group, we maintain, all the current active versions of React Native plus the upcoming RC for the new release. And it's nice to just have a command view of each release properly and see what is important to be picked to decide if we make a release. And that view is a lot better. As mentioned earlier, we made some investments in hopefully making releases more sustainable for React Native. I think I'll highlight we made efforts on release infra here. The user win out of this is from 0.75, we should have version pinning in React Native. Meaning if you install the React Native package, let's go to a future version like 0.75.1. All of the sub packages, i.e. the React Native prefix ones, so React Native CodeGen, for example, will also be 0.75.1. Matching projects like Babel. But behind the scenes, this has taken quite a lot to kind of unpick and change, which is why we haven't done it for 74 either. Significant improvements to how we publish our packages. So we no longer publish the next version of React Native on main. We no longer publish the sub-packages prior to our release testing. This is now all done locally, and there's now a single unified step to publish through NF release. And that's about twice as fast to do as it was before. So The other upshot is this helps us get releases out to you faster, including when we respond to major issues. So yeah, less work for us, faster response times from us.
Awesome. Let's link the resources that you mentioned in the show notes as well, so that people can see and understand how much it takes to actually release the project like React Native every few months. I guess it's a hell of a job to do that, and it takes a lot of effort to do that. Yeah, and I think that's a wrap up. Thank you guys for joining me in this episode of The Coffee Talk by Callstack. We talked about the latest features and improvements in React Native 0.74. And we talked about Yoga 3.0. We talked about Bridgeless as default and some other improvements. We talked about also some deprecated things in React Native 0.74. And we talked about some improvements in release process of React Native itself. So thank you, Alex. Thank you, Hoor, for joining me. Thanks, everyone, for listening. And see you in the next one. Thank you.
Thanks. It was great to be here.
Thank you.
Hey, one last thing. Let us know your impressions of the release, what you're most excited about, what you think is groundbreaking. And please share your feedback about the episode in the survey linked in the description. To get more React and React Native news, sign up for Callstack newsletter, join our React Conf conference and React Universe Conf in September. And React Conf is in May in Nevada. And also online. Thank you.